A Catcher processor is limping back to port after an engine room fire last night. No injuries among the 23 crew of the Alaskan Leader. The 137-foot vessel was about 90 miles northwest of Unimak Pass about 10 o'clock last night when the fire broke out. Three other nearby vessels responded to help. The Coast Guard says Good Samaritans have been released from the scene as the cutter Sherman is now shadowing the Alaskan Leader into Dutch Harbor. They should arrive at about 11 o'clock this morning. The vessel's starboard engine is damaged, but the vessel is still making about 6 knots on the port engine and manual steering. About 9,000 pounds of frozen cod and about 5,000 to 6,000 gallons of fuel reported on board. The captain of a landing craft that ran aground at the port of Anchorage yesterday is being charged with operating the vessel while intoxicated. Police arrested 59-year-old Albert Peterson yesterday on the charge of operating a vehicle while under the influence. Lieutenant Dave Parker says Peterson's blood alcohol level was more than 1.5 times the legal limit of .08. The Coast Guard is investigating yesterday morning's grounding of the Anchorage-based Sealander at the small boat landing. Peterson and a crewman were the only people on board the 53-foot vessel. The crewman was treated at a local hospital for an arm injury that the Coast Guard says he sustained before the grounding when it got tangled in the anchor chain. There's no sign of a fuel spill from that grounding. No compromise following a meeting earlier this week of Juneau and Petersburg officials over a land dispute between the two communities, but the discussion between the city leaders is being described as productive. Casey Kelly has more.
The city of Petersburg wants to form a borough that includes lands previously identified for annexation by Juneau. Petersburg Deputy Mayor Mark Jensen and Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello met Wednesday to discuss the possibility of a compromise boundary. Speaking by cell phone Thursday, Botello called the meeting cordial, but said Juneau still wants to make its case in writing to the state's local boundary commission before further talk of compromise.
We thought it would be most valuable for Petersburg to have a chance to review the basis for our assertion.
That assertion is that the area in question, which is largely unpopulated, most appropriately belongs in the city and borough of Juneau. It includes all land from the CBJ's southern boundary and east to the Canadian border, as far south as Cape Fanshawe. Juneau filed a 74-page brief with the Boundary Commission Wednesday, opposing Petersburg's claim over those lands. On Monday, the CBJ Assembly plans to approve an annexation petition seeking to officially stake Juneau's claim to the area. But Botello says that doesn't rule out some sort of compromise in the future.
Certainly. We're going to be prepared to have discussions as would be appropriate between neighboring communities.
In its brief, Juneau argues that various state and federal agencies have historically included the disputed area with the CBJ for administrative purposes. Petersburg argues that its residents have historical hunting, fishing, and recreational ties to the area. Jensen says the talk with Botello was constructive.
It expressed our concerns and why we thought we had a leg to stand on, you know, the fishing interests and in that region and the use over the years. So, and they've got their points as well. So I guess the Boundary Commission will be making some decisions here.
Jensen also met Wednesday with officials from Juneau Native Corporation Goldbelt. The company owns 30,000 acres at Hobart Bay in the contested area. In his latest comment to the Boundary Commission, Goldbelt Vice President Derek Duncan said the company prefers the land remain outside any incorporated borough. He said Goldbelt would continue to study its options and make its borough preference known soon. As of Thursday afternoon, no further statement from the company had been posted on the commission's website, and Duncan could not be reached for comment. With help from Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg, I'm Casey Kelly in Juneau.
And you can read Juneau's response brief to Petersburg's petition to form a borough. You can go to our website at ktoonews.org. With some of the worst fears about the economic recession behind them, the board of Sitka's Sawmill Cove Industrial Park would like to begin moving forward again. About 25 Sitkans joined the board for its October meeting recently as it was held outdoors on a walking tour of the site. Robert Woolsey of KCAW Radio tagged along and has more on the story.
I heard your knowledge about it. Even when this was a working pulp mill, Sawmill Cove must have been one of the most beautiful industrial locations in the country. On a mild autumn afternoon, as golden sunshine paints the terminal dust on the peaks of Bear and Cross Mountains, all of it mirrored in the reflecting pool of Silver Bay, Park Director Gary White is trying to paint a picture of his own.
If you can imagine from right about here over to the edge, they would put in fill with a sheet pile fill and then put down two dolphins, and that would be about $6.5 million. But what that would allow is that would allow freight to be able to come over this dock. It would allow Silver Bay to move their fish from here. It would allow, if the bottling company gets back up, allow water to be moved back and forth across from here to there. So that's the plan, is to get this into an active port. And then down the line, we can decide and have a conversation if we need another cruise dock in the community, and it could go here with additional infrastructure. But in the meantime, you could be bringing barge freight in here.
The idea of a cruise ship dock is so volatile in Sitka that the Sawmill Cove board has felt hamstrung in trying to build support for a sheet pile bulkhead for freight that could be conceivably used for cruise ships. And while it might make sense to build a barge landing out here to stage rock and materials for the Blue Lake Dam expansion, White says no money has been budgeted for the idea, and the materials will likely be landed at the other end of the road system and trucked through town. Longtime Sawmill Cove board member Charles Horan, however, told me he's betting that new industry at the park will emerge from areas where Sitka is already strong.
The most likely growth is going to come from the resource development that we see in town. We have water, we have fish, we have the scenery, and we have wood. You know, historically, that's really been our basis. And the real growth that we've seen have come out of those things that we've seen in town. And the growth at the park has been the fish. You know, the Silver Bay's increase, and even before them, we had other fish processors. They've increased in their bunkhouse. Now they're providing storage for fishermen for their nets and things like that. We see an opportunity for capturing more of the marine services market, which is what's here and just needs to grow.
So you've kind of seen the writing on the wall, and it's not necessarily somebody from Dubai and his water tanker, but it's just continuing to sort of nurture the industries that we're already kind of good at and develop them.
That's the 90% most probable growth will come from those. Now, we're always open for that 10%, the guy from Dubai that needs fresh water. We've got it and we'll sell it.
Despite fairly routine inquiries from around the world, water bottling and bulk water have more or less evaporated as solid business prospects at the park, and they seem to have dried up as immediate and reliable opportunities for growth. Alexander Allison came on the tour as an interested citizen. He agrees that the park should focus on what Sitka has and what it stands to lose.
I'm on the Ports and Harbors Commission, and I live in the harbor, and I've got a lot of close friends and associates who are in the commercial fleet, and I'd really like to see the marine services industry take root out here to support that fleet, because right now we're losing a lot of our fleet. Every year the harbor turns into more and more of a ghost town as boats go away to Wrangell and further point south to get all kinds of work done. And you know, those things that are being done down there are things that could be happening here. And it's not just that boat leaving town. It's all the money. It's all their families going with them. It's all kinds of work for people in Sitka that leaves with them. And so we need to save the fleet, basically. And I see creating that marine services industry here as the way to do that.
Less Silver Bay Seafoods and the water bottling plant, which are now both privately owned, Sawmill Cove has about 20 acres of prime industrial waterfront available and about 30 acres of available land off the water, which will be more difficult to develop. Only two assembly members attended today's walking tour, along with a smattering of other Sitka officials. Nevertheless, Sawmill Board Chairman Grant Miller hopes that policymakers in Sitka will get the message and put the park higher on their list of priorities. Sawmill Cove is 10 years into a 20-year development plan. Miller thinks the possibilities are here, and it's time to act.
And it's hard to wait. Some of us seem like we've been waiting a long time for something to happen here.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.